What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of The Reverse Shot. I'm John Salmon. Joining me, like always, my boy, Andy Peterson.
I'm here.
Okay. Welcome. Welcome.
Yeah, I'm here.
Welcome. We're smack dab in the middle of a Spooktober.
We are.
We just had a great one. We had a fantastic episode of Troll 2. Had a great guest feature, Jared Ross. That was awesome.
Yes, doing the troll with Jared was awesome.
Was awesome. And today, we're gonna drop you with a nice fat daddy classic. John Carpenter's The Thing.
I love that you have to say, the only way you can say it is John Carpenter's
The Thing.
The Thing.
I was gonna say the year, but couldn't remember off the top. I almost said 1983, but 1982, John Carpenter's The Thing. That's the only way you can say it. But first,
bam.
Before we get into that,
what's coming up?
Did you hear that?
I don't know. Is that a bell ringing?
Is that crowd chanting?
Oh no.
Is that a wooden door gate or something of some sort opening up to the Colosseum?
Oh my goodness. Is that?
It is time.
Oh.
For Cinema Brawl.
Cinema Brawl. Cinema Brawl.
This is a segment where we like to pit up two iconic characters in the Colosseum to the battle to the death.
Death, death, death.
Who will win? Who will lose? Today, we're taking it back to the 80s, baby.
80s, baby.
To the fat gold chains. To the slasher.
To the Feelas.
To the Feelas, to the breakdancing in the street.
To the Bugle Boys.
We have R.J. McCready versus John McClane.
Oof.
Two 80s action star, Kurt Russell versus Bruce Willis. Andy, who will it be?
Well, it's one of my favorite horror films versus one of my favorite Christmas films. I was born on Christmas Day. There was a great hero that was there to save the day on Christmas Day. Glass and feet and all. John McClane wins.
I'm with it. You know, John McClane has been brought back multiple times to claim his spot. While McCready, Kurt Russell, is witty, I think he could survive a Die Hard type situation.
Nah, he's badass, but he's a little crazy.
He's a little crazy.
Yeah, he's a little wild.
McClane is composed.
He is composed. He likes air ducts. And I mean, look what he did to Hans Gruber. I think he would do the same thing to McCready.
I feel like McClane is gonna hit McCready with like the Muhammad Ali rope-a-dope. He's gonna let McCready tire himself out. And then McClane's just going to calm, compose, drop a one-liner, yippee-ki-yay, and then end it.
Bam. Float like a butterfly, sting like a bee.
Mother.
Oh my goodness, it's Muhammad Ali.
Oh, I like it. But now, let's get to the thick of this. Let's get to the meat and potatoes.
Yes.
You like meat and potatoes?
Meat and potatoes. Meat and potatoes.
Potatoes are fire. And you know what else is fire?
John Carpenter's The Thing.
1982, John Carpenter's The Thing.
First of all, before we start, John and I were talking earlier, and I want to bring this up. I had the pleasure of meeting Mr. John Carpenter one time.
Where was it? At a convention?
It was at a convention. Spooky.
Which convention?
Spooky Empire.
Nice.
Yo, Spooky Empire, if you ever hear this, you know, we'll do something there.
We'll do something. If you hear this, this happened at your convention.
Yeah. Shouts out to Spooky Empire. But, yeah, one year the main guest was Mr. Carpenter, and I waited in line, and I got...
What were you waiting for?
To meet John Carpenter.
Just to meet him? Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Did you have memorabilia?
Well, I bought a poster. I bought a Halloween poster.
Nice.
I was going to go. I mean, my favorite Carpenter film is the thing, but you gotta go the Halloween route. I get it. I walk up, I'm like, I never get giddy or excited, but then I'm like second in line now, and I'm like sweating, and I'm like, oh, I just go blank, and they're like, you're up. And it's like walking up to Santa Claus. Like,
wow, you're about to sit on
Carpenter's lap.
Carpenter's lap. What do you want for Christmas, kid?
Ghost of Mars, please.
Ghost of Mars.
So I walk up and I say, I think I even put a thumbs up. And I say, Halloween was good. You did a good job. And the guy just looked at me. And was just like,
okay. Give me the marker.
Yeah.
Signs it. Next.
Yeah. And I'm like, did I just say that?
Mr. Carpenter, Halloween was good.
You did good. He needed my approval.
The Andy seal of approval.
He's like,
so pissed.
He's like, my filmography is complete.
It's like, you know, you travel 70 years to get here, and this is what you get.
This clown.
Little snot-nosed kid telling me that my movie was decent.
This was like 5 years ago. I was a grown-ass man. I forgot to leave that part.
Mr. Carpenter, sir, you are a director.
All right, get this guy next. Out of here.
He has his assistant sign. Yeah, I don't know what I would say to him. I think I would just mention, I don't know. What do you say to the guy who probably hears the same thing over and over, you know?
I think that's why I blanked, because I was just like, oh, I'm going to say something that like he hasn't heard.
No, he's never heard. Yeah. Halloween's good.
You did
he
a
hasn't
good
heard
job.
That. Dude, he hasn't heard that. He needed that. I mean, Halloween is like a big, big important thing for me, so it would be, but I feel like it would be lame to mention that, but it is big, big movie for me. Yeah, I don't know. I got a little peek into the inside of filmmaking at Universal Studios in Florida, where they had, during the earthquake ride, would show little segments and give you little insider information on how they did achieve certain visual effects, and one of them was about the leaves during Halloween, where they were just collecting all the leaves and stuff. They were I think they filmed it in like summer, but had a bunch of fake leaves that they just kept reusing.
Carpenter was like, probably like, we can't wait till the fall, we have to
now.
Give me leaves.
What was her name? Deborah
Messing. Man.
No, Deborah Wilson? I don't know.
Deborah?
Think of his producer that worked with him on Halloween. Man, I forget. But yeah, they were like a duo. And they're probably both like, now.
Pick up the leaves.
There's 100.
Leaf. Get them all. Where's the leaf boy?
It says here leaf boy was played by. But let's get to the thing, man. A research team in Antarctica is hunted by a shape-shifting alien that assumes the appearance of its victims. Perfect. Oh, my God. Andy.
Meow.
Wow. I thought it was... So I've seen this movie one time. About 15 years ago. So watching it again as an adult was stellar. Ooh.
That's a good word for that. The movie is stellar.
I loved it.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Dude, the makeup in this film still holds up.
Holds up. I was grossed out just exactly like they wanted me to be.
Mm-hmm.
That, man, shouts out to the special effects. Shouts out to the cinematography.
Oh, yeah.
What was the special effects artist, the artist name? Well, didn't Stan Winston kind of like do some assistance?
Yeah, he did some assistance. You can always tell when you see a Winston prosthetic or something. Like, The first time you see the monster, that looked like once, like with the dog.
Oh, right. Absolutely. Yeah, dude. My, there was one, monster. Who was it? I forget which monster, but there was like this meaty flesh alien creature thing, and then it opens up with
With
like
the
a
teeth?
head, with like a, no, like a head comes out of it,
Oh, yeah.
and it's like, dude, it's like so many layers of this animatronic that are moving parts, and just must have been such a blast to make.
Oh, yeah. I mean, this film is all about shock value with grossing you out. And I think they do a great job. And I think it holds up. And they should have never remade it.
Lance Anderson,
Lance
like so
Anderson.
many people, there's so many makeup people. Shouts out to the entire makeup and special effects department. Man, very
Yeah,
good.
that I would say that and the cinematography are the two best. And I think it is Carpenter's best directed film.
Shouts out to Dean Cundey.
Yeah, man. Carpenter makes him do like a lot of tricky stuff.
Right. I think they were filming on location. They're like in the snow for a bit.
He's like, we're going to Antarctica. We have to shoot in the snow.
Dude, another thing from my youth. Steven Spielberg director's chair. Some game on PC. And it was this, in a nutshell, this game where you w climbed up the ranks of Hollywood and got to make bigger and longer and more varied feature films. But along the way, you get tutored by and mentored by different like icons from the biz. That's where I learned about Dean Cundey. It's like this guy's like teaching me about cinematography, and I'm like a little snot-nosed kid, like, Mr. Cundey, sir. Halloween was good.
I hear you use anamorphic lenses.
Mr. Cundey, so tell me what it was like using the glide cam for the first time on the set of Halloween. Oh,
Did
damn. Went
you have
super
to
nerdy.
also pick up the leaves, or did you like get a break?
Everybody picked up leaves while Carpenter smoked. He just watched over everyone.
He's like, more, more.
A little fun fact about smoking and Halloween. There's a scene where you can see the smoke blow in front of the camera because he's smoking behind the camera. My gosh. That guy. Andy, would you pay $20? Oh my God. Would you pay $20 to wait in line if it was at the end, the $20 was for John Carpenter to smoke one of your cigarettes? Would you do
Absolutely.
it?
All the way down to the filter. I'm like, do it, John, all the way to the filter. Smoke some of the filter.
Oh my
Let that flame
dude.
hit your fingertips. I want every
He
cent worth.
just smokes one of yours, dude. You pay him $20 to smoke your cigarette.
I would buy him Marlboro Reds.
Who was the oh, Ennio Morricone, right? That's how you
Yes,
say it?
yeah. He is
He
probably
did the
my favorite composer. Rest in
score for
peace.
this film, rest in peace. And it
Was
was
Good, Bad, and
music
the
was great.
Ugly, Hateful Eight.
His music was great.
Oh man, his music was it's legendary.
Yeah, it was a nice change of pace, you know. It's just a few years after
Do do do
Halloween.
do 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 do
Exactly.
do do
John Carpenter's usually bashing on a keyboard somewhere. I hear if you get really quiet.
On Halloween.
If you get really quiet on Halloween, you can hear the sound of John Carpenter playing his keyboard.
It's a key tie. He's just walking around hitting his chest.
He's
Do
at
do do
FAO
do do
shorts
doing
on the
big.
keyboard. Ding, 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 ding. Oh, yeah, doing the big on the keyboard on the floor.
Every Halloween.
But on regular days, if you get really quiet and listen, like, hold on, get really quiet and listen.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Did you hear that? That was John Carpenter bashing his keyboard.
It's not playing. It only plays on Halloween.
No, but a fun fact here, I'm looking at John Carpenter fun facts. A fun fact here is that he actually is legally obligated to stay away from keyboards.
When he goes into a guitar center, he has to be handcuffed and wear mittens. Or else he books it for the keyboard section. Dude, he's like, is that a keyboard?
When you are in the line and you wanted him to sign your autograph and you're telling him, or sign the poster, you're like, Mr. Carpenter, Halloween's a good movie. You think he's annoyed, but really he's staring at you, and all he hears is ding dong dong ding dong dong ding dong ding dong ding dong ding in his head, dude. That's all he hears.
I so wish I had him sign a Ghost of Mars poster.
So what do you want for Christmas, kid? Mr. Carpenter, I want two silver platinum, like two platinum SMGs.
And I want
like Ice Cube. I want an Ice Cube mini fro. And camo cargo pants. Dog, I'm going to cosplay as Ice Cube from Ghost of Mars.
I'm going to cosplay as John Carpenter's keyboard.
All the colors are faded.
Yeah. The keys are just, like, smashed.
He's been doing it for since 1978. He's been mad bad. He hasn't stopped bashing since.
He hasn't bought it, and they won't let him buy a new keyboard. They're like, that damn thing is still around.
He's like, what do you mean? I just got it.
Now give me a cigarette.
Oh my gosh, dude! I really liked the. This movie, I also like in the thing, I like that the there was kind of like a dark ending.
That's very dark.
Yeah, like there's not really like a happy outcome.
No, it's everybody gets murked. And Keith
they
David
don't make
and
movies like this. They no, don't do they that don't. Anymore. They're always sequel baiting. I feel like the last several movies we've watched, they just end.
Yeah,
there's one. No like after credits scene. Built nut wink wink. We might come back for more. There's
no, that,
none of that.
This one is like, guess what? These guys survived, but they're stranded in the.
Yeah, and they don't even trust each other.
Yeah,
still don't trust each other. While the building's on fire. And
now,
then...
do you think one of them is the thing?
So the theory is that one of them's the thing.
Yeah.
My theory is that they were on a soundstage, and. It's 1982, so they just couldn't make Keith David have smoke, like his breath be foggy. That's it. They're just in a soundstage. You know that, you know Social Network, right? When they're outside in Social Network.
Yeah, you see like their breath.
You see their breath. People rag on that scene because it just looks fake. It's like, wow, you guys would go through such great lengths just to like fake his breath, really. But when they're in the cave in the thing, they're like in this ice cave, frozen cave.
I want to see
nobody's breath.
I want to see breath.
Nobody's breath.
And that's kind of what it looks like. It looks fake, like in real life. Like you ever see your breath? It looks, you're like,
oh, yeah,
it looks like CGI.
Yeah, I guess. Like, I don't know. It might look funky, but I see why he did that. Because I see why David Fincher would do that. Because if these characters in Social Network are talking about how cold it is, but there's no breath, I don't really know if I believe it, because in this one, in the thing, they're in this cave and they're all, but like, they look, realistically, it looks like y'all are sweating.
those heat lamps are on.
In this hot studio. So the theory is, I think people may give that ending too much credit. The ending is dope, but I don't think, like, the telltale sign is, look at it, he's breathing. The other one's not breathing. I think it was just a mistake, bro. I think it's just, dude, Carpenter probably can't sleep. He probably thinks about that scene all the time. He's going to release a
remastered version?
Yeah, a 40-year anniversary, and it's going to be have digital breath.
That's all he puts in it?
Yeah. Yeah. He's going to James Cameron it. He's going to like add tinting to the windshield and then be like, it's an anniversary edition. Buy my movie. I put tint on the car windshield.
I found out the Titanic didn't have 426 rooms, yet it had 427. So I added a new room.
I added an extra room. It's a special edition. Buy my movie. Dude, I bet John Carpenter adds breath at the end of that scene. It changes everything.
Yeah.
But I liked, it is still suspenseful, though. He comes out of nowhere. Keith David just comes out of nowhere. Mm-hmm. It's like, where you been?
Yeah.
It's
awesome.
It's like still got that lingering mystery and like who done it.
Well, and he's probably the most mysterious one in the whole film. He doesn't say much, and then when everyone's just betraying each other, that's when he kind of goes a little nutso too. I think the two most crazy people are the ones that survive.
Hey man, you got to be crazy to survive. Wow, and you in the cinema brawl, you said that he would die.
Amen. I also said he was crazy, but you're not beating John McClane.
John McClane's like, okay. You want to get a little crazy, okay?
I've killed Hans Gruber. What have you done? And his brother. Nakatomi Plaza.
But John Carpenter's a legend.
He is a legend.
At the end of the day, Ghost of Mars is trash, but John Carpenter's a legend, you know?
He is a legend. And he's a good conversation piece, too.
It's been a hot minute since I've seen Escape from New York.
Another good one.
And Assault on Precinct 13.
Another good one.
But I love The Fog.
Oh, yeah.
Love Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
The Fog might have one of the scariest shots I've ever seen.
Which one?
Oh, man. It's when it's in the climax when they enter into the church.
Wait, I just realized my man put digital fog in a film.
Where?
In The Fog.
Was that digital?
Some of it had to have been.
Some of it had to have been. But
he was like, why didn't we have this team on the thing?
While he's like blowing a fog machine into their mouths.
Breathe! I just realized too that like all of his movies have been remade. Except for Ghost of Mars.
And Escape from New York, right?
I think they're remaking it.
Oh, remaking it? I think they are remaking it.
Yeah.
Yikes. Well, this is actually a remake.
Oh, yeah, that is true.
The Thing is a remake.
Yeah, there's three of them, aren't there?
The Thing from Outer Space.
Yeah.
Which is...
Was the beginning like an homage to that?
Oh, I don't know.
We didn't need that.
Oh, but it's 1980, man.
Yeah, you want to see space.
You got to see that, man. Killer Clowns had it, bro. Like,
they did.
You got to see the spacecraft landing. But yeah, I guess so. I mean, it is that same. It is like probably an homage. Like, yes, this is an alien crash landing movie.
Yeah, but then you just never see that spaceship.
Right. No, don't they go to the crash site or no?
Oh, yeah, I guess that is what that is, but they don't really like tap into it.
Right, they never like.
It's not like Alien where it's like, we're going to show this huge.
Yeah, we don't see like a fleet of ships now in space or something, but I wonder if Carpenter was teasing his involvement with this movie or if this was just by coincidence, but in Halloween 1978. They're watching on TV the thing
the
from
thing,
another
yeah
from an, what is it the,
from
another
outer
planet
space,
the thing from outer space. Yep, thing from outer space.
Yeah. Ooh. And maybe he was also teasing that the spaceship was Ice Cube coming back from Mars.
Dude, that's what happened.
Mm-hmm.
On Ice Cube's return from Mars, stuff got weird. He had an alien on him, and now he brought it here.
Yeah.
Wow.
Ice Cube brought us the thing.
Wow. He's ground zero, patient zero.
Mm-hmm. Ground Jeez. Zero.
Patient zero. Same thing.
Same thing.
But
what good facts do we have on the thing?
Oh, yeah. Let's look it up, man. I'm sure there's a million. Well, what? One says here that John Carpenter is legally obligated to stay away from keyboards.
The double fact.
He's popping up.
He just keeps getting like faster with it.
Carpenter said that of all his films, this is actually his personal favorite.
Me too, Mr. John.
Nice. Wow. So as we just praise the score for this film by Ennio Morricone.
Mm-hmm.
This film was nominated for a Razzie for the worst score.
Ennio got nominated for a Razzie?
A Razzie.
That's a slap in the face.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
This film's budget, $15 million, was substantially larger than the average horror films of the time. Friday the 13th had cost a mere $700,000, while Carpenter's original Halloween had a paltry $375,000 budget.
Right. I mean, you could see the $15 million in this.
Oh, absolutely. He was going ham. Dean Cundey's like, thank goodness. I hear that it says, of the $375,000.
$100,000 went towards the keyboard. and piano lessons.
$100,000 went to the keyboard. And $275,000 went to all the leaves. So
piano lessons.
Fun fact.
For him to hit what,
oh, and
three
with $1,000 cigarette budget. He went over budget $1,000 for because of cigarettes.
He had to learn three keys.
It says right here. You like that? Alright. Oh wow, this is the first film of John Carpenter's that he did not score himself. The film's original choice of composer was Jerry Goldsmith, but he passed, and Ennio Morricone, composed a very low-key Carpenter-like score filled with brooding, menacing bass chords. Wow, I'm sorry. I don't know where that came from.
808.
opened the same day as Ridley Scott's Blade Runner.
Oh.
The similarities don't end there. Both movies met with unfavorable reactions by critics at the premiere, but have gained a devout audience following.
I don't get the 80s and like the movies that people hated.
What the heck did they want out of the 80s?
Like, they were very picky in the 80s.
Yeah, what did they want?
Like, they hated The Shining. They hated Blade Runner. They hated...
What else came out in 82 that, like, they were just like... This movie sucks.
They wanted like Bridges of Madison County or something. Their 80s were all about their dramas and their like their cheesy cop comedies.
Jeez. I'm trying to see if there is any. So John Carpenter was sold on the making of this film. About the blood test scene, he was also adamant to create a monster movie where the creature wasn't obviously played by a man in a suit, something that had bothered him somewhat while watching Alien. Yep. So I'm saying, I like Alien, but it is hard to like not to like ignore that. That's just like
a dude,
some contortionist.
Some spandex.
Yeah, some contortionist in spandex. Who probably can't see out of his helmet.
He keeps running into things. Ridley's like, yes, yes.
He's like, stand still. Just don't move.
I'm Ridley.
I'm Ridley. Just stand still. Don't move. He sounds like Michael Caine. Anyway, some scenes were shot with stop motion animation, but John Carpenter rejected them because they looked too fake.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, Kurt Russell has that scene where he looks like he's doing full stop motion. My man looked like he was frozen.
Oh my gosh, yeah, what was that? He was just completely like frozen motion. Yeah, I mean, there's tons of facts, but none of them are too crazy. As far as, you know, insightful, it's just little things, you know. This tentacle was operated by Carpenter.
It was called Thing, but John wanted the, and
oh, Kurt Russell took a drag on a cigarette at the beginning of certain shots in order to make his breath appear more visible. Oh, yeah, Keith David just didn't smoke, bro. He's like, nah, I'm good. Yo, he's iconic too, man. Keith David,
yeah, iconic, is. Legendary. He's got that as voice, well.
Dude.
They both he and Kurt Russell have like iconic voices. They're up there with Sam Elliott.
The Sci-Fi Channel planned to make a 4-hour miniseries sequel in 2003, but nothing ever came of it. A companion piece, however, was eventually produced in 2011, also titled The Thing. It served as both a remake and a prequel. It tells the story of the Norwegian camp and leads directly into the 1982 film. I didn't know that. I'd be down to watch that.
Yeah, just not the remake.
I think that's the remake.
I thought that was... Oh, is it?
2011, The Thing. Yeah, I think that's the remake they're talking about.
I made it through 20 minutes.
Well, it is about that... The Norwegians that came crashing through.
Yeah, it starts with them like on a snowmobile and then the ground breaks. But why call it The Thing?
I don't know. What should they call it? The Thing too?
Or just like, I don't know.
Do they something. Would they call it The Thing too, like also, like T-O-O? It's a romantic comedy starring Chris Rock. The Thing,
and
too.
Gary Oldman is The Thing. But as a dwarf.
He was doing a lot of freaky stuff and at that time.
He's been doing a lot of freaky stuff, period.
His whole career. This movie sits at the 12th scariest film of all time.
It's up there. I mean, it's a top 5 for me.
It's really good. I would like to watch this with people who haven't seen it, because, I mean, when that stuff starts bumping...
Oh, no, I consider this a horror and a sci-fi.
Yeah, like, it's definitely both.
I have it in my top 5 horror and my top 5 sci-fi.
It's definitely more... I think it's more horror than Alien.
Yes. Yeah.
Like, those effects and stuff that's happening...
Alien's
there is
literally...
Great.
It's a space movie.
Wow. Elaborate.
Well, here's the thing. An alien, they're in space.
I like space movies.
I'm Mr. Ridley. You did...
When I close my eyes, I see mine movies.
You did good space movie.
John Carpenter, you did space movie. Listen, what's your final word on this film, man?
Yeah, it is a classic, and I love to watch it every October.
It is a good one. If you've seen this film, this is one of your favorites, gather someone in the room. Gather a group of people who've never seen this movie. Your friends who are just like, but it's old. I want to see something. Bow, put them in this room. See how they handle
it. It holds up.
Yeah, it holds up. Just hang back. Watch their reactions. Wait for all this crazy stuff to kick off.
Just think, this thing is almost 40 years old.
Wild.
It doesn't feel like it.
No, not really. That score is just as good as ever.
It's so good. It's a Razzie.
It's so good, I'm giving it a Razzie.
And
yes, I agree. I agree with you 100%, man.
Yeah.
With that, though, I think that's it on The Thing.
I think that's it. And if you get the chance to meet John Carpenter, give him a thumbs up and say, hey, remember that dumbass that told you made a good movie? He's like, which one?
Yeah, which one? No, I am curious to see. I might have to do a viewing of the remake or a reboot, whatever. I might have to do it. I'm gonna put myself through it, but hey.
Maybe.
I like this one enough to see what's good with that one. But let us know what you think. Is the Thing top 10? Top 5? Is it one of your favorites? Let us know. You can find us at Instagram at The Reverse Shot, Twitter at The Reverse Shot, anchor.fm/The Reverse Shot, Spotify, Apple. Come on.
Whatever the other things that you listen to your podcast on. There's like a million, so just whatever you listen to.
Come on.
Bootleg us if you have to.
Yes. Rub two forks together and stick a
bunny
by
ears?
Your head. Yeah. And you'll catch a signal. However, we're blasting through the airwaves.
We're on AM radio, baby.
And with that, I'm John Salmon.
I'm Andy Peterson.
We are out.
Peace.